All right, so I knew we've been planning out who's speaking, or this weekend the boys are gone together, Jay and Isaac and Micah, and so we knew I was going to be speaking, or these next few weeks, David and I would be. And as I was walking, I started noticing, and you might have noticed it here too, we have a gold field of gold. Do you guys know what I'm talking about in our fields? All of the dandelions have now decided that they are ready to come out today and at full force. Like, I don't understand how they go from nothing to like full bloom in moments. And then as I was walking my dog, I started noticing that my neighbors and ourselves too, that there was some creeping Charlie that comes up, but it's so pretty, right? It's like purple and colorful in your grass, and you have like yellow in your grass and green. It's all colorful, but they're weeds. And I remember when I actually learned about Queen's lace, it was like on the side of the road. It's like an invasive weed plant that's a part of the carrot family, but that's besides the point. But it's the Queen's lace is so beautiful. You guys know what I'm talking about, what Queen's lace looks like? It's circular and wide. And you know what I realized is that these plants are super aggressive, but they have no roots. And they spread very quickly. I think maybe because I'm not like an arborist or gardener or anything like that. But I just know that I see how quickly these invasive plants want to just take over. And as I was pondering and thinking, the Lord brought me back to Matthew chapter 13, where he talks about the parable of the sower. And in that time, when Jesus was talking, he often used parables so people could understand the context that, you know, what he was trying to say. And again, I am not a farmer. I don't know, we might have some farmers in here. We actually probably have some farmer history and legacy. I did not grow up with farming history or legacy. I don't like to do hard work outside at all. Can we just be honest about that for just a moment? I don't like doing it. I said something to Pastor David today. I said, hey, you know what I don't know what I was going to say. He said, oh, you don't like to break down boxes? And I said, yes, that's not what we're talking about. But I don't like to break down boxes. I don't like to move. I don't like to do anything, apparently, that's of hard work. That's what that all sounds like. I like to sit and talk and let's eat and drink and have some coffee. That's where I like to be. So when I'm reading about farmers and sowing and seeds, I can only think about it. But here Jesus is using this parable to talk to people who followed him. And I think what is amazing about scripture is when we read scripture, if it's in there, we need to give attention to it. And I think some of these things we can just pass by either because it's familiar or doesn't seem like a big deal. But if you have your Bibles with me, we'll have it on the screen. You can turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. And it just says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathering together to him. So that he got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Can we just talk about how that's just a miracle within itself? Like, I'm talking about how I don't even like to move, and here people are so eager to hear Jesus speak that they're going to stand. They're going to move. They move with him. The time frame, it wasn't like they were driving to his location or driving to meet him. Like, they were, like, walking and journeying with him. I just think in that self is just, again, it kind of blows my mind that there is these multitude of people gathered together. And they stood and they listened and they waited. And maybe they sat, but there was an expectation that they had. And so then he spoke. So let's see. He got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood there on the shore. Then he spoke these things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds, and seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because of no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they were withered away. And some fell thorns among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, 60, and 30. He who has ears, let him hear. You know, as I was reading, before I even get to the rest of scripture, I find myself, because I always want to identify, maybe I've said this before, with the good parts of scripture. Anyone? Like, oh, I want to identify with like the forgiven part. I want to identify as like, I am loved. And as I was listening to this, when Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. it sunk like sunk my battleship for that moment. How many times do I move on where I hear, but I don't hear? Now, I'm sure you have had an experience maybe where you're talking to someone who's not listening, or they're distracted, or you've repeated yourself multiple times. It is so frustrating not to be heard. And here Jesus is saying, those who have ears, let them hear. I realize that so many times I find myself in that place where I just skip over to the good stuff. Or I hear something good on Sunday that Jay will say, and I write it down, and then I move on. And I've heard it, but I've not sat with it. I've not allowed it to transform me. And so even just in that, I just thought, man, we're already getting right out of the gate. These places where I want to identify with the good places, which are all good and true. But I need to be a person, and we need to be people that when we hear, we have ears to hear. You know, this portion of scripture is talking about really receiving the gospel message, and that's what we're going to be talking today is, and he describes it, and we're going to go through it, and today's title is Get Rooted. I actually have a title this week. I never do. I always tell them in the back, just name it whatever, like listen and name it. I actually have a title, Get Rooted, because it's important. I feel like as we're going, it's more important now than ever to be rooted in Christ, to be rooted in truth. And just as these weeds are beautiful, the things that they lack are solid roots. And we don't want to be people, we don't want to be believers who don't have solid roots. So Jesus is basically here, and the disciples in verse 10, it says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. Man, as I was reading that, I had to sit in with it as I'm studying and listening and looking at the weeds that grow quickly everywhere. And I just thought, Lord, I don't want my heart ever to grow dull. Have we become so familiar with scripture and church and tradition that it's caused our heart to grow dull? That we come here, we come to church, we gather together, and we just let it be what it is, and it slowly dulls our heart. And what we see is in the scripture, what it's really talking about is how we receive the message and the word of God. And the very thing that we need to do, the very thing we need to do is make sure our hearts are not growing dull. See, the disciples and students that were with them, they had full access to Jesus. And that's where they're asking, like, why are you saying this? But even so, he had to break it down. He was able to tell them, and they were able to learn how to minister so that their hearts would not grow dull towards him as well. So, for the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Then Jesus says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. What I love about this is Jesus is saying, you are blessed because of where you find yourself. And I want us to consider, as we're going to continue to break this down, what is the soil of our heart? What kind of farmers are we? Because we all are in this. As I was reading, I realized, well, he's talking to the sower. So it's twofold. When we hear a word, we're receiving and being sown into. But this is also about us sowing into other people. And we don't want to be careless in our sowing. We don't want to be just like, oh, we're going to talk a little bit about this. But I want us to consider, how do we sow seeds of the gospel while also receiving seeds that are being sown into us? So verse 18, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. I'm going to come here. You know, I write my notes, and sometimes I can't even read my own writing. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what has sown in his heart. This is he who receives the word by the wayside. So the word of the kingdom, or the message of God, the good news of Jesus. As I read this, I was reminded, I thought back about this, how in Adam and Eve, they had a seed that was being sown to them. And what does the enemy do? He snatched it away. See, it had not had time to get its roots. It had not had time to do. And so the enemy comes, and because they didn't understand fully the relationship that they had access to God in the garden, they're able to be stolen from. And then I was thinking, as I was reading, I was reminded in Matthew chapter 4, so just a few chapters before, when Satan is tempting Jesus. So Jesus goes out into the wilderness. He's been fasting for 40 days, and he comes, and immediately, basically, Satan comes. And let me tell you what he tries to do. He tries to snatch the seed that was sown in that time of his fast with his father. So it says in verse, I'll just quick read it. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up to the holy city to set him up on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give your angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of all the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I give to you, for if you fall down and worship me, or if you fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him you shall only serve. See, if Jesus did not have, and oftentimes when I think about it, when I am tempted, when I receive something, whether it's on a Sunday morning or I'm reading his word, when I don't have the understanding of it, the more vulnerable I'm going to be for the enemy, to fall for the enemy's lies and tricks. And so here Jesus is, he finds himself in this place, and the enemy comes to try to snatch the very thing. But because he was rooted in who his father was, he was rooted in the promises of who God was, there was nothing he could do that would snatch away God's promise from him. There was nothing he could do to snatch the joy away. So we see the difference between Adam and Eve, who are not rooted, who immediately fall for the lies, falls for the temptation, and end up sinning. And then you see God, who is deeply rooted, and the enemy can't snatch anything away. So it's important for us to say this, because I think that we find ourselves in situations oftentimes where we just let the word be, and we like are hoping that we're rooted, and then all of a sudden something just fades away. The promise, the hope, the word, whatever it might be, we just allow the enemy to steal it from us. And because the circumstances and situations are bigger than what maybe we're feeling, we end up on the wrong side of things. Now, verses 20 and 21 is probably a little bit more where I could identify with as I was reading this. It says, but he who received the seed on stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Come on, who is there with me that you hear something from the Lord and you're just like, yes, this was when I was reading. I'm like, this is me right here so often. Yet it has no, now I am rooted in Christ, but it sometimes, I guess I should be implying that I'm not rooted. Yet he has no root in himself and endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arrives because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The word tribulation, if you think about tribulation, it really is just like, I literally asked Alexa, like, what is the definition of tribulation? And it's suffering. It's severe trouble. It's a grievous time. Persecution, people come against you, maybe because of what you believe or are putting pressure. And so he's saying, like, you'll receive my word, but the moment things get tough, things, you hit the road. You start asking, God, where are you? And then we stumble. When things get tough, it can be easier to let go instead of pressing into him. I was thinking about this one time. We were with some friends up north in Hayward, and they had a boat and an inner tube. I think that's what it's called, an inner tube? Tube? And we were on it, and I was on it. I mean, this was not too long ago. And I was determined to stay on. And so I think I had, maybe I was with Sam. Maybe I had one of their kids. I probably had Sam. Or maybe I was just by myself. And Jay was driving the boat. And I think it was Micah who was giving the directions, which all of that combination is not great. Like, you know, anyways. So I remember being on this, and Jay's goal was to get me off the tube. That was his goal. So he's driving in a way that's going to get me off. And I am like, I am hanging on to this. He's not going to get me. Well, of course he got me, right? Like, he is just going with his boat, like with the boat. And this inner tube is like, right? And I'm like, if I fall off this thing, like at this point in life, like who knows what's going to break, right? So it's going and going, and I'm holding on. And of course I do not prevail because I'm not strong. And Jay was more determined. It was in more control than me, my ability to stay on this. And so I think we actually even have pictures of me like flying in the air and the inner tube. It just was, you know, but so many times we will give up. We stop holding on. Because the waters start getting, and situations start getting so turbulent that we're like, there's no possible way. Where is God? Where? And we all of a sudden go from, God, I remember I have this joyous word. I have this faith, this trust. And then situations start coming and we're trying to hold on. We're trying to hold on. And they keep getting more turbulent. And what we do is we let go of God and his word. And all of a sudden, we're sitting in the doubt and the frustration and the anger. And hear me out. I'm not saying that we cannot grieve. I'm not saying we cannot question. I'm not saying that we can't be mad about something. But we need to continue to turn back to God. We need to go back and say, God, but you are faithful and your word. I remember that's why we write stuff. Well, that's why I write stuff down, is because my mind is so quick to forget what God did. My mind is so quick to forget the goodness in my life that I experienced. My mind is so quick to forget the time he was faithful and a prayer was answered. My mind is so quick to forget those things, especially when things get turbulent and hard. And when we face turbulent and hard things, our humanity chooses to turn from God instead of lean into him. We look, instead of looking for him in our discomfort, we blame him for our discomfort. And the seed that we received in the word and the message and the gospel that we received with so much joy all of a sudden goes out the door. You know, we had an incident this week with Sam. They had three lacrosse games. And every day it was raining, every day. The only days they had games on, it was like scheduled to rain. And so she plays very hard, like very intensely, and she got hurt. And I knew I probably should have taken her to the chiropractor on Tuesday. On Thursday, she just pushed herself way too far, and she was like limping to try to play, and they finally took her out. She's pretty dedicated. So she was really bummed because she wanted to play on Friday's game, and she has something to contribute. So Friday comes, and Friday it was not supposed to rain, but all of a sudden it is like 6 o'clock, and the rain decides that was a great time, and it's literally pouring rain. Like, and they're all out there, the teams, the coaches, everyone's just soaking wet. So I go for a little bit and help out some things, and I'm driving home. I didn't stay for the whole game because Sam wasn't playing and I wasn't going to have to sit in the rain unnecessarily because I do that on any other time. If she's playing, I will sit in the rain, not complain. I don't mind it. But if I don't have to be there in the rain, I'm not going to be there. And so I'm driving home and I had this thought. It's pouring rain. My windshield wipers are going. And she was very frustrated. I should have asked if I could have shared this story, but I think there's testimony of this. So she was very hurt. We were trying to figure it out. It's frustrating, right? It's frustrating when you're injured. You're frustrated when you feel like you can't do what you're supposed to do. And we came up with a plan. We were good. And I was driving home, and I had this thought. God, were you protecting her? He's not causing the injury. I don't think her getting injured was caused by him. But I had to consider, what does your providence look like in this situation? So I just had the thought, like, if she was playing in this, she could have actually got way more injured. And because of how I know she plays and how wet and soaking, like it was soaking wet by this point. The field has been rained on 3 times this week, probably hardly any time to dry. So I just have this thought, go. So her and Jay come home and we're talking and he goes, hey, he's like, so weird thing. He's like, Sam and I, and they, because Jay's coaching as well. So they were both in the field at the same time. And around the same time, they had the same thought. God, is this your protection that I'm not playing? Is this your protection that she's not playing in this game? Sam had this thought. God, are you protecting me so I'm not playing in this game? And I think so many times we look at the very understandable frustration of being injured, wanting to do what you want to do, all of these things, and we sometimes forget to step back and say, okay, God, what do you want me to know, and what do you want me to see? Because you're so much greater than this. You're so much greater than the circumstances that I'm facing. You're so much greater than the heartache that I'm experiencing. You're so much greater than any of these things. But too many times we sit in, this isn't fair, this isn't fun, this isn't right. God, I did this, whatever it might be, instead of stepping back and say, okay, but God, your word says, or your promise is said, or when I was reading your Bible, I was reminded. See, we don't want to be people who receive the word with joy, but then when tribulation comes, we're the first to go. I want us to be a church and a people that when tribulation comes, because life happens. We live in a sinful world. Life is happening. Every person from here on your way home has about however many decisions that they choose to make, right? We don't get to decide other people's decisions. We don't get to decide other people's choices. We only are in charge of ourselves. We're in this huge thing called life, and there's all these people in it together. And so many times we can be so caught up in our own real situations and feel so lost, but instead just taking a step back and say, God, I know who you are. I want us to be a people that when we face, because we're gonna just face things. We're gonna face things that are uncomfortable. We're gonna face things that aren't gonna go our way, that we wouldn't be the type of people who would just, like, God is the easiest thing. Because I will tell you, stop going to church, not reading your word, and not praying are the easiest things to do. It's like super easy. I don't eat after, I don't know, a couple hours, and I'm like hounding the, you know, like looking for the food. There's like not enough food for me. I don't read my Bible a day or two, and all of a sudden it's like, man, when was the last time I got into the word? When was the last time I like actually sat and prayed? I these are just real things. Whatever reason it is, it's so easy just to let off of our faith, our pursuit of faith, because things get either too comfortable or too hard. We got to be growing and rooted in who he is. So go on to verse 22, and this is where the hope, this is not the hope verse yet. Verse 22, now he who receives seeds among them, among the thorns, is he who hears a word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke up the word, and he becomes unfruitful. If you want, you can turn to Mark. So Mark is the other place that this parable is found. Mark chapter 14 and verse 19 says it like this. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, what I like about this is, number one, the things that these seeds come, they start bearing some fruit in us. And at the same time, these thorns begin to come and choke it out. It's a process. Until all of a sudden the seeds and the word of God is no longer fruitful. So we can come every Sunday and make room for everything else Monday through Saturday. And the words and the message and the faith and the grow will inevitably get choked out if you're not paying attention to where it's being planted. It's just the way things are. There's a difference here between caring for the world and the cares of this world. I want to hear, what would you say that culture or society tells us matter, that something that matters? You could shout it out. What's something that the world tells us matters? Money. What else? What was that? Drugs. Yep. All right. What else? What are some cares of this world? What? Work. Yeah. That gets in the way sometimes, doesn't it? Yes. There's a lot of things that culture and society will tell us that matter. Self-image. Our trust, our careers, not just, I think that's that career place, like your career matters, this matters. All of these things begin to be the thing that chokes it out. The deceitfulness of riches, striving for the wrong things will get us off course. If you notice here, he doesn't say riches are the problem. I don't think God has a problem with us being rich. It's the deceitfulness and the pursuit of it that ends up being the problem. The deceitfulness of riches can get us off course. He wants us to be good stewards and mindful of what we have. The problem lies when we strive in more, thinking it's going to solve the problems that we're facing. You know, I was watching this video, and I thought, wow, like money does really, like it does solve some things. Like it can, right? And as I was watching this very, like, unrelatable person, celebrity lifestyle, that's what it was like, this, they were celebrating their birthday, and they're on, like, a yacht and a boat, you know. And so I just had that thought, like, oh, that's nice. Then I thought, do they even know Jesus? And it's not a criticism. It was where my thought went, like, oh, that would be really cool. And then I thought, no, above all else is actually first to know Jesus. Because we can make everything a priority over him and not ever actually know him. I get that it makes it easier, but the moment any one of these things begin to draw us away, it begins the process of the thorns choking out the fruit of the seeds that have been planted in your life. Desire for other things besides God. You know, what I think about is, like, we are not, as Christians, like, supposed to have these, like, mundane, boring lives. No, they're supposed to be filled with joy and hope and celebration in the midst of everything that's going on. And I think sometimes we forget the celebrating, we forget the joy, we get so serious about, like, God, that, like, no, like, we have a sense of humor, and there's all of these things that, like, make us who we are, that are a reflection of him. But so many times a desire for other things other than God will choke the seeds and the fruit that is trying to be buried in your life. I believe, and this is where we have the promise, this is where we have the hope. It says in verse 23, but he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it and indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I'm telling you, God will do it. His heart is that our lives would be fruitful, and that looks like fruit in many different ways. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control, and love. I'm missing one. What? Faithfulness? I kind of went through them fast. But those are good things. If you look at the fruit of the Spirit, God wants us experiencing good things. He wants us experiencing joy. He wants us experiencing the gentleness and kindness of one another. He wants those things for us. He also wants us to understand what we're reading. It says that those who receive seed on good ground heard the word and understands it. I don't know if you remember, you may have not been here 2 weeks ago. I was talking about how when Jesus ascends to heaven, it says that he gave them he opened their understanding to scripture. That's something he wants us to do, is to understand that when we read this isn't like a mystery in that we're trying to figure a riddle out. No, he wants us to have understanding, because as we have an understanding of who he is, understanding of his promises, understanding of how we've been created and why we've been created, then we're able to walk in the fullness of joy. Then we're able to walk freely. Then we're able to walk and be giving to one another. Then we get to walk and bear much fruit in our life. She's with her mom. Don't worry. I didn't say that. Her parents have her. She's good. She wasn't like coming and screaming from kids' church. She was with her parents. That, you know. I think that in Luke chapter 4, where it's talking about this, what I also thought was interesting. Wait, Mark. It was not Luke. It was Mark. Or was it Luke? Hold on. Mark. In Mark chapter 4, where it's talking the same scripture. Verse 19 or 20. It says, These are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. What does it look like for us to accept the word of God for what he says it is? You know, right now there's a lot of things online, everywhere, about anything, about anyone. And I had to think, can I just trust that God's word is God's word? Can I just accept it for what it is, that in my very limited understanding, that if it's in here, it's enough? That when God says he's going to heal someone, guess what he wants to do? He wants to heal someone. When God says he wants to provide for someone, and that the widows and the orphans were without nothing, or they didn't have a need, that he wants to bring provision. When he says that there was no lack among them in Acts, like, can we just accept the word of God for what it is? Instead of trying to find these caveats of why it's not going to work or why I can't make it work for myself. We can either be at odds for scripture and look for all of the holes. And there's plenty of really intelligent people who will tell you online why the Bible isn't relevant, isn't real, isn't for today, isn't how it says it is. There are lots of people. And they have lots of letters after their last name or before their first name. You can go and search. You can find anything on anything. Or we could be a church and a people who just says to say no, like, but God, you said. But God, you promised joy. But God, you promised wholeness. God, you promised faith. God, you even said in here, like, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. My flesh just feels weak today. Like, can we just be a people that accepts God's word for what it is? That's my heart, is that I would continue to grow and accept it, and also be comfortable with the things that I don't know. Because sometimes I'm right now in the Old Testament, and there's just some hard, uncomfortable, I've said this a few times, because I'm going through just the Old Testament, right? And there's some things that I just don't really, I'm understanding, I'm learning in my own learning, like, oh, that's like descriptive and that's prescriptive, right? There's this place of learning, but can I just also just take God's word for what it is? Because I'm telling you, he wants us to take him at his word. Like, that's what he wants. You know, I am notorious for either forgetting. I forget way too much. And I'm so, I go between, like, if I'm tired or not tired, but there's so many times my kids will be like, Mom, but you said. Hey, Mom, did you do this? Hey, Mom, you said you were going to do this. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I forgot. And then 3 days later, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I forgot. Right? And my kids will just be like, but Mom, you said. Or, hey, Mom, don't forget. Hey, Mom, we got to do this. See, they keep me to my word. And I am fallible. I am by the grace of God saved, how much more would our Heavenly Father, how much more does our Heavenly Father want us to accept his word as it is? So much more. So how do we bear fruit? And that's at the end. It says you will bear fruit 60, 30, and 100-fold. How do we bear fruit? I think that the very thing is we actually really need to get rooted. We must be rooted first in his word. We must become sowers of his word and sow his word into our lives. It says in scripture, faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. There is no other way our faith is going to grow except to accept it for as it is and then speak it and sow it into our life. And know that when we're saying faith comes by hearing, but by hearing the word of God, God, I thank you that you're growing my faith. Help me in my disbelief. Help me in my unbelief. God, I'm feeling like my body is falling apart, but your word says that by your stripes I am healed. So God, I thank you that I'm healed. That's how we sow the word of God into us. It's really that simple. Like we want to grow with Jesus in our relationship, sow his word into your body. Sow his word into your heart, into your mind. In the same way that we listen to music and fill our time with all of these other things, start replacing it with the word of God at times and see what happens. When we sow into ourselves, we are sowing life into us. There is no other way that anything else can come if we're sowing the word of God into us. We're not sowing something and going to get a different, you know, like a seed, like you don't know what it is. No, we know what we're sowing into us. It says that this is the bread of life. This says that it's the life and the light. That's what we're sowing into us. So if that is what we're sowing into us, that is what we will begin to come out. And that's where we'll begin to bear fruit in our own lives and towards others. So we must, in order to be rooted, we must be sowers of the word. We do this by daily being with him, looking for him, listening to him, and seeing him. You know, when I drive, I'm most distracted when I'm doing nothing. Okay. When I'm driving, I am most distracted when there's nothing that is going on. I like days off. So when I drive, I like to look to see if there's people that I know. And there's certain intersections. I have a friend who I've seen her at this intersection at a certain time many times. So when I go to that intersection, I literally am looking for her. I actually saw her the other day in a different way, and I called her, and I was like, we're not at the same intersection, because her license plate is like a personalized one. I'm like, I am right behind you. We're supposed to be on a different intersection, like down the road. What are you doing here? Whenever I'm driving, I'm looking for people that I know. When I'm driving in my city, I have a relationship with our police department, so I will drive by and see if I know the police officer in the car. Now, that proves to be a little bit more difficult, but, you know, I'm looking to see, do I know them? Do I know the car? If I see a familiar, when I'm driving, I'm looking. And I think that that's how we need to be looking for Jesus everywhere. Where are you? Where are you? Because he's everywhere. And we begin to see him in the beauty of creation, of a conversation we have with someone. He's everywhere to be found. We need to be looking for him. So that's how we begin to be sowers of the word and sowing into our life and growing in him. When you're in his word, look to understand. Look beyond what he's reading and say, God, like, what does this say about you? What does it say about your character? Find a way and make a way to be in his word deeply and daily. I don't say that with condemnation. I just know that that's the first place we take our break off, our foot off the gas, is his word. Find a way. If you struggle with reading, I have to listen and read. So I have audio Bible, and I will just put it on, and I will read, and I will listen. It just helps me comprehend what I'm listening to. But find a way to be in it daily. Number two, we need to sow into others. Sow faith, sow your testimony of how God has done what he's done. Sow truth. When we sow together, we grow together. I'm not trying to be like funny and rhyming. It's just true. When we sow together, we grow together. We begin to hold each other up. We begin to testify. We learn how to grow in faith with one another. Learn to stick with someone in prayer and faith for them, with them. I'm telling you, that is the biggest place of faith that we can grow, is when we learn to pray with someone and stand on on God's promises for someone else beyond ourselves. It begins to challenge us, and because it is not a situation where we feel the pressure of desperation, we get to come in with a renewed sense. Because if you've ever been in a desperate place, and I have been in a desperate place, there's times where I feel like I couldn't even pray. I didn't know what to pray. And I needed people praying over me and with me and standing and holding myself up, holding me up with their faith. See, when we sow together, when we sow truth, and it's not that we're like Christian cliche phrases. That's not what I'm looking for. You know, this week I got a text for someone. They're asking for prayer, and I immediately, like, this scripture just came to mind, and so I just sent it. Like, I'm just going to send this scripture. And they said, oh, that was a scripture that God had held me through a difficult time before. Just do it. Just step out. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to get it wrong. But when we sow together and we grow together and we want to be like for someone else and contend for someone else, there's no greater way than growing. And let me tell you, that was like a boost of faith for me too. Because I'm like, yes, God, I do hear you. I do know your voice. I do read your word. It boosts us up as well. If there's someone that comes to mind, reach out to them. How are you doing? How can I pray for you? Even, can I pray for you right now? Or I was thinking about you. I was praying for you. Like, whatever it is, we need to start sowing into each other and other people beyond this place and share the goodness of God and what he's doing. You know, I remember our wedding was on the tightest budget. Jay and I got married when we were 21. We were like on a tight budget. And I remember telling Jay, I would rather have hot dogs at our wedding and have everyone there than have this nice wedding and have people there with me that I love. So I was going to make every attempt that every person that I wanted to celebrate was there with me. That there would be there'd be no barriers. And we had a very beautiful wedding and some great moments, and everyone that I wanted to be there was there. We aren't to do this alone. The more we have, it's said in the scripture, the more that you have or the more that you give, the more will you be given. When you hold on, it will be taken away. We need to do this together. So step out. It keeps us rooted in God. When we step out in faith, it keeps us rooted because there is nothing scary. There's nothing scarier sometimes for me than asking someone if I can pray for them. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. And I'm going to tell you that in your mistakes, in your worry, and all of that that kind of goes on in your mind, God meets us and he wastes nothing, ever. There are plenty of times I've probably come up here, said things that were wrong, whatever. And God in his goodness and mercy just corrects, keeps us going. See, this is the God we serve who says, I want you to bear much fruit in your life. I want the words and the truth and the things that you're learning to go deep, deep, deep down. I'm not worried about these little things. I'll take care of the rest. He wants us rooted in him. And then the last thing we need to do to stay rooted is we need to water the seeds that we've sown. Now, I was Googling, I have these beautiful hydrangeas, and I read that like coffee grounds are good for it. And so I've been sprinkling some coffee grounds out there. Like if I or leftover coffee, I'll throw it out there. I don't know. I don't do this stuff. So I was just like, oh, I think this works. And it looks so pretty. I told Jay, I said, I think maybe the coffee grounds are working. But the things that hydrangea really needs is water. That they really actually need to be watered good. We need to water the seeds that we've sown into our life, trusting that God's going to bear the fruit. How do we water? Really simple. We start declaring again his word. It really is. Like I can just keep going over and over this. We water the seeds we sown by declaring the truth of what we're putting in. We water the seeds when we stop playing the negative tapes and the lies. I'm going to tell you, I was sitting here this morning in worship and my mind was just like, the enemy was just bombarding me with like dumb lies. I'm like, nope, I'm just going to keep my eyes. I'm going to focus and worship you, God. I'm not even going to I'm going to just keep my eyes. We got to stop it. We have to. We're the only ones that can stop and say, no, I'm going to keep my eyes and trust on you. That's how we water the seeds. And then we worship we cry, we do whatever it takes to guard and grow the seeds that have been planted in us, trusting that it's God who brings the increase. That I can't produce any, like that's the other piece, I can't produce any fruit, I can only sow into it. It's God who keeps his word. It's God who's faithful. It's God who brings those things to pass in our life. And all we're responsible for is planting and watering, planting and watering. Says it in like one of the epistles, like Paul watered, Apollos sowed, or vice versa. And it was God who brings the increase. So we just keep planting and watering, planting and watering. And when circumstances around us look like they're coming in, we keep planting and watering, And we repeat, because God is faithful. It says in his word that his word will not return void. It says that God is not a liar. Therefore, if we just receive his word, as it says in Mark chapter 4, as it is, verse 20, just receive it as it is, accept it as it is. God is so faithful and good. All right, I'm going to pray over us. We could stand. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would continue to grow and be rooted in you and you alone. Lord, I know that your heart, even as you were speaking, as Jesus was speaking to the disciples and he was speaking to the crowds, his heart was that they would hear his words, but that they would be hearers of his words, that they would see and actually their eyes would be open to see what he was doing in the midst. Jesus, I pray that our ears would receive this word. We hear you, but Lord, that we wouldn't be people who hear but do not hear and just move on. God, I pray that we would be people who the seed takes good, goes into good soil. Lord, that we would cultivate our lives, cultivate our spirits to be good soil, God. God, we thank you that you can be trusted, that the things that we want, the thorns and the thorns of life and the cares and the situations we have put ourselves in, Lord, that they come to want to steal and rob and destroy the seeds that have been planted. But God, I pray that we would be people who would continue to come back to you, come back to your word, come back to your promises, and trust that you are faithful and that you are good. I pray that this word would bear much fruit in all of our lives, God. God, I pray that this word would bear much faith in what you are speaking to us individually, but what you're speaking to us corporately. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you that you can be trusted. Lord, we look to you who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen, amen. Well, you guys be blessed. Have a great week. If you'd like some prayer, we have some people here that can pray for you. If not, mingle with one another, and we will see you next week.